Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If I had to use a word to describe Phil... it's inappropriately dressed. It's mild and wet outside, and he's wearing short shorts and a tight t-shirt.
They're not short enough for my liking. These shorts.
No, they're not.
And if I had to use a word to describe JB, it would be smug. He's got the sort of air of. Have you seen that Sony Xperia phone advert?
Oh, I hate that advert.
It's got a guy's face, and he's just looking at you with a slight smug smile. He's got headphones on, and the strapline says, "I can hear things you can't." I can hear things you can't.
I assume that's because he's got is it tinnitus or
labyrinthitis?
Yeah. Well, JB's got a face approaching that level of smugness. So, without further ado, hands in pod on three. 1, 2, 3,
pod.
And yeah, you might have guessed that I think Wales might have something to do with JB's smugness, but we'll get to that in a moment. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. We are 2 weeks from the World Cup. This is, just over 2 weeks to the World Cup. This is, I'm so excited, I cannot wait. Just let me get the housekeeping out of the way. You can find us on iTunes or on the Acast app. And thank you very much for the reviews. You got us up to number 11 in the iTunes sport chart. So out of every sporting podcast on planet Earth, we were number 11, and thank you very much for that. That just shows that there's a big passion for rugby union, and we love the game as much as you do, and that's why we're going to talk about it. At Rugby Podcast is where you can find us on Twitter. A few headlines from around the game to get us going then, boys. And let's start with the news. Sam Stanley he's been reported that he is the first openly gay rugby union player. And I thought it was appropriate to start with this. It's Pride weekend, the bank holiday Monday that we're recording this. He's come out. James Haskell's also been involved in Pride weekend by doing a anti-homophobia photo shoot for the magazine and, getting painted up with his top off in a rainbow.
He looked magnificent, by the way. Magnificent.
He did look good, didn't he?
Yeah, I've got a confession. I was once caught by the Manchester Spartans trying to steal some...
Who are
the local gay team.
Yeah.
Trying to steal some of their kit. So I was in Stockport Rugby Club. They had all disappeared off to the showers. I'm like, right, yeah, has busted. But they've got lovely kit. As you would expect.
Stereotyping, G. Yeah,
sorry.
On the one hand, I'm like, but you know what? Fantastic. Well done, Sam Stanley, because you're opening the floodgates for people to, and you're telling your story, and hopefully that will give other people confidence. There is a little part of me that's like, well, of course all his teammates at Ealing Trailfinders and all his former England 17.
They're his mates.
Of course they're all fine. Of course they're all fine, as is being reported. Because, yeah, like you say, they're his mates, and this is rugby.
Wouldn't it be more newsworthy if he's getting lynched? I mean, I think that would be unusual. Like, they tied him to the back of a Discovery and dragged him around around the ground.
I can't believe you'd expect anything else.
No. Like, and it has nothing to do with rugby either.
So if you are a lesbian, gay or bisexual rugby player, then you're just a rugby player. I'm glad Sam Stanley's feeling better about going into this season with his Ealing Trailfinders squad. Right then, next headline. There is controversy reigning in South Africa. Phil, can you briefly explain what's going on with this racial tension around the Rugby World Cup?
Well, there's an organisation trying to, within South Africa, who are appealing to the South African government to try and get the South African rugby players' passports withdrawn from them.
What?
To prevent them from going to the World Cup.
Are they not already here?
Not yet.
Yeah, they need to get on the plane quick, don't they?
And Jamie Cudmore let us know just an hour ago that the Canadian team had their Final dinner in Canada last night.
Halifax in Canada.
Halifax, Canada.
Right, I was going to say, because where the hell do you find lobster in Halifax? I wondered that. Okay, that makes sense.
No, but the headline is
West Yorkshire, the landlocked city, home of lobster.
They wouldn't know what a lobster is in Halifax. Wouldn't know what to do with it. Yeah, so there is an organisation trying to prevent them because they believe that Heineken Mayer is selecting white players preferentially over black players. Knowing how competitive international rugby players and international coaches are, I just cannot believe anyone would pick a worse player simply for a reason as trivial as that.
Yeah.
I know it is a big issue in South Africa.
And I know it's the sort of thing that we can't get a grip on living where we live.
Nothing gets more attention in South Africa than the politics of race. But this won't happen. This won't happen because, well, the courts in South Africa will legitimately let you kill your girlfriend and only serve, like, 4 years. So there's no way that they are not allowing the rugby team to travel over to the World Cup.
Right. Did he get found not guilty?
No, he was actually guilty. I'm sure he's been found guilty, hasn't he?
I don't actually know.
No, I don't know. It's not important.
No.
He's definitely gone to jail.
No, litigation and being sued, that's not important.
They can sue me. I'll be fine. Right. I'll live with that.
All right, well, another quick headline then. And speaking of the Springboks, assuming they make it to the UK, which they will.
Yeah.
John de Villiers has recovered from his injury to make the Springboks squad. And another injury, Waisaki Naholo has come back from a broken leg, which he sustained in July, to make it into the All Blacks squad. And Steve Hansen's 31-man squad, a back three left out. Izzy Dagg, Corey Jane, both played and won the World Cup in 2011. And Charles Pietau as well.
Wow. Yeah. Future Ulster legend, Charles Pietau.
Izzy Dagg must have thought he was an absolute shoo-in after being the main man in that Air New Zealand rap. Advert.
Yeah. Well, no, Air New Zealand must have thought he was an absolute shit, or else they spent their money on Waisaki Naholo. Well, now, Waisaki Naholo recovered from a broken leg, which is why I laughed, through herbal remedies or something?
Witch doctor, I think, is the best way to describe it.
Works for me. He's back, isn't he?
Izzy Dagg, what do you want to say about it?
Here we go. Sit back, relax, let's go. Let's get this started, but before this plane's departed, old man's
the plane you're not on, is he?
Yeah, exactly. Phil,
how ironic.
You've been having a look because it's pretty much all. Is that now all the squads have been announced?
There's still a few to go, I think. Ireland hasn't been announced yet.
Oh, of course.
There's rumours about it. Scotland hasn't been announced.
But Wales has.
Wales has.
No real surprises for me. I mean, we've only got three centres, but Gatland knows what he's doing. We've only got two hookers. Gatland knows what he's doing.
That two hookers one is worth lingering on a second because we talked about it on the last podcast and Australia naming two hookers and England not being aware, evidently, that you could take two hookers only.
Oh, no, they were too busy writing on their shirts and telling each other about their feelings.
Well, I think they do understand that you can take two hookers, but there are risks involved with taking two hookers. So I've been flicking through the rule book, the law book, and the tournament rule book.
The man with the facts.
So you need both.
Because you do need to both to understand the complications of it. So there are no limits within the overall squad as to any number of front row players.
Okay.
But each match day 23 must have six suitably trained and experienced players.
Okay.
Fact.
Right, fact number one.
Law 3.5M states it's not the responsibility of the referee to determine suitability. That's the suitably trained and experienced players, as this is the responsibility of the team. And law 3.5G states that there must be sufficient front row players to play at hooker, tight head prop and loose head prop who are suitably trained and experienced, again, to ensure that on the first occasion that a replacement is required in each position, that a team can continue to play safely with contested scrums.
Okay.
So that just means in the match day squad, you've got to have one player in each position, so that's six. Now, there's also a stand-down period of 48 hours. So 48 hours before any test match, if you bring someone from outside of the squad, you've got to do it more than 48 hours before that test match for them to play.
So the
hypothetical situation is either someone gets injured in training 48 hours before a test match, and you would have to play three props on the bench, basically, if a hooker got injured.
But one of them would have to have sufficient experience at hooker.
Well, it's up to the team to determine that.
Yeah.
There is an argument that Aaron Jarvis has hooked at, like, youth level.
Right.
So Brandon, he's happy and the team's happy. He could go in there, but then that creates...
Imagine the throwing in.
Yeah, the throwing in is a massive issue. It also, it creates an issue if you, say, Ken Owens takes a knock on the Saturday. Mm-hmm. It means you've got to decide 48 hours before the match whether to replace him in the 31. Because if someone comes into the 31, someone's got to go out of the 31 as well. So it complicates it from both sides. So it is a bit of a risk. Now, the other thing is, failure to comply with this will forfeit all match points.
Let's just say we've got a situation where Wales hooker goes down 24 hours before the England game. They determine that Aaron Jarvis does not have suitable experience. They're going to forfeit this game before they even go.
They wouldn't do that. Because they wouldn't do that. They'd play out, they'd pick Aaron Jarvis as the replacement hooker, they'd put him on the bench, and if something happened to Ken Owens, they'd put Aaron Jarvis on and just have an insufficiently talented hooker that could risk them losing the game. They wouldn't forfeit the game.
It's a calculated risk. But what confuses me is that Gatland has picked 5 second rows and 2 hookers.
Huh.
But he's picked 5 second rows plus James King, who can play in the second row as a back row. Now that, to me, if either of you watched the game at the weekend and saw the Alan Wynne-Jones knock, and that suggests that Alan Wynne-Jones is more seriously injured.
No.
That's a great shout, Phil.
He's absolutely fine.
They're also going in, they're carrying at least 2, possibly 3 other injured players into the World Cup. They've got Samson Lee, who we know won't be available for a couple of games. Liam Williams hasn't returned from foot surgery. Mm-hmm. And Sam Warburton is still to play a game.
Sam's fine. Alan Wynne's fine. I don't even need to talk about this anymore.
Listen to that blind faith from JB.
If Alan Wynne's not fit, we shouldn't risk the health of everyone else.
Let's get on to Wales beating Ireland in that brutal encounter. There is no such thing as a warm-up match in rugby union. As we've been saying, the first choice Wales 15 is a match for anybody on earth. JB in your phone!
I know, it's so popular.
He just never learns
to turn it on mute. The first choice Wales 15 is a match for anybody.
Yeah.
And they beat Ireland in Dublin at full strength.
Yeah, pretty much we did, yeah.
Do you want to hear what Warren Gatland had to say? Let me stop this music actually for a second. Have a listen to what Warren Gatland had to say. I regard this as a dig.
We knew the whole focus of this campaign so far in the preparation was to win a big game away from home. And I don't think Ireland play a lot of rugby. I thought they were really narrow at times, and a lot of the players are quite narrow.
So on the one hand, he's saying, yeah, well, we all knew that the whole focus of this whole thing was just winning away. So he's basically written off last week in one comment.
That's fine.
Last week doesn't matter. And he's also said Ireland just didn't play any rugby.
It's fine. I don't think Ireland do play a lot of rugby. I don't think Ireland were allowed to play a lot of rugby because Johnny Sexton was on the back foot so much. How often did he just kick the ball away? They tried to kick onto George North's wing at least twice. And I just think that is because the Welsh pack was so mobile. They're absolutely ferocious. And that's how we're going to play.
Well,
so I kind of agree with him.
Ireland did have 12% more possession. They ran 40 metres more with ball in hand. They made 40 more runs and they passed 40 more times and kicked out of hand.
Fact!
And kicked out of hand fewer times. So there's a strong argument there that it was Wales who didn't want to play any rugby.
Yeah, but you can still be narrow and have all of those stats add up.
For Gatland to have a dig at Ireland by saying they're not trying to play rugby. Wales did not try and play rugby.
Can I always say this? It's a legitimate dig. I don't think it's a bad thing if that's what the Irish were trying to do, because why should they play their hand now? They're one of the World Cup favourites. A lot of what you read off there is obviously true, but I think a lot of it happened in the second half as well, when Ireland were in the ascendancy.
Yeah, but neither team went out there to play rugby. But that will be a great game for both teams because it was reminiscent of a quarter-final or a semi-final.
Yeah.
It was controlled, attritional, forward-based rugby. And that will benefit both those teams hugely, even though Ireland lost.
I don't think there's a team in the world that likes to be camped on their own try line as much as Wales. It's like they relish it. Like, just put us here and we'll be absolutely fine.
Yeah, but you saw from the tackle completion percentage was like 92 and 95%.
Phil!
Fact!
God, you're wearing the facts button out on this pod.
That in itself, they have very high completion percentages for an international game, but it showed that neither team was willing to play rugby. They were playing not to lose rather than playing to win.
Well, can I just tell you the best bit of commentary I've heard in a long time?
Go on.
It was a description of Dan Lydiot. Does anyone want to know what he was described as?
A lumberjack.
So close to him, you don't even realise. A master.
Master axeman, master...
Oh, a master chopper. Dan Lydiot is a master chopper. Which is actually my gay porn name, so that's great.
But Tipperick.
Oh.
Let's talk about Tipperick for a second.
Let's do that.
Yeah, let's do that.
Because I think, like, Lydiot, his tackling was superb. He didn't do much else, as he often doesn't. His tackling was superb, but Tipperick did a bit of everything. He was everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Athleticism, his handling is superb.
It is superb.
He was just everywhere.
He was.
His tackling was superb.
Do you know there are some guys that, I mean, they used to talk about this in football to describe people like Teddy Sheringham, where they go, they went, even in their advancing years, and I know Tipperick's a young man, they would sort of say he's quick of mind, that he always ends up in the right place at the right time. Tipperick's got that and an engine.
Yeah.
He's just got whatever it is, that just reading of the game. I mean, I'd say what Tipperick's got is what Haskell can't train for in the gym pump iron for. It's just that understanding and that reading of the game and that feel of the game that just means he arrives in the right place
and
at the right time.
But also, there's nothing of him.
I think he's legitimately playing himself into a starting position.
You underestimate Sam Warburton so much.
Oh, no. I'm saying
alongside.
I'm saying alongside because the last time that Wales did that, they beat England 30-3.
Yeah,
Hoopson Pocock nullifying New Zealand. There is a time and a place for it. Well, I wouldn't. I'd probably go Lydiot against England because they're gonna.
No.
Well, maybe
we did Lydiot against England last time. We lost. Not that it's going to make a huge difference.
But against Australia, that's a legitimate option to try and match Hoopson Pocock.
I think it could be for both. England really struggled.
Just play
in that,
whoever's
in that last
playing
game.
Best. I mean,
Tipperick's foot. But we'll see if Sam Warburton's fit enough.
Tell me this: Robshaw or Tipperick?
Different players, Jay. They're very different players.
I'm going to have to give Phil all the credit for
if
this.
If Tipperick was English, I'd go Robshaw and Tipperick.
Well, I'm going to have to give Phil all the credit for this because he texted me saying, it's different. One is a ball playing seven, the other one is a link playing 6.5.
Very different positions,
well
Jay.
Done,
they're,
Phil.
They're not in the same field.
Well done, Phil. Well saved. But how about Ireland? Henderson, he played himself into a World Cup squad, hasn't he?
Oh, he's awesome.
Yeah, he's a very nice player. I don't know why they consider him in the back row, though, because he's like 6'7", is just something ridiculous.
Well, 6'7", second row. I think that's...
6'2", that was perfect. That's exactly where I play him.
He is a little bit lightweight. Certainly, he's only young. He's only 23, 24, and he has been a little bit lightweight in the past, so he is an option as a back row. But
if he's got that natural frame of 6 foot plus.
Oh, 6 foot seven.
Yeah.
That's a long way over 6 foot.
So, I'm sure he'll put on some timber eventually.
Yeah, I would. I think he is playing himself into contention.
Yeah, for sure.
And that try he scored.
Yeah.
I think we also need to mention Jamie Roberts for services to men. Now,
just gay pride again.
No, it's
going to go again.
No. When is Jamie Roberts going to finally give up on his hair? As in just shave it all up. Because he is balding rapidly.
He is.
And I wonder if he's going to do a service to all men, because we're all trying to keep on to what hair... Well, you two are fine, actually, but me, not so much. And if Jamie Roberts could just lead the way of the old like crow's nest look and help us all out, just like Bobby Charlton used to. That's a professional sportsman balding in a... What's the word for it? In a graceful way. Make it cool for all of us.
Oh,
yeah, no,
the pre-se look.
Yeah,
I'll go with that. I want to rogue player Jamie Roberts to let it go, but just grow it round the sides like your granddad used to have. Long, just around the side. No one does that anymore.
No.
And also, I always think when you look back at pictures of Bobby Charlton, like a comb over, he must have gone to the hairdressers and gone, do you know what? Leave the left. I've just leave that one, but cut the right hand side really short.
And even when he's 25, you look at the pictures, you go, it's a 45-year-old man. So Jamie Roberts is doing us all a favour, and if he just grows it out on the side and leaves it thin on the top, fantastic, Jamie, well done.
Now, Ben on Twitter at Rugby Podcast has got in touch, and someone who's not doing a service to men is Johnny May. So Ben is a Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast listener. He was in Gloucester, in his native Gloucester, and Johnny May walked past down the high street. He took a picture of Johnny May with his dog. Johnny May is wearing green Crocs.
Ugh. Well, it strikes
bright
me.
Lime green Crocs.
It strikes me as one of two things. One, it's a man very comfortable with his own image.
Yeah.
And number two, Maybe it's a safety precaution, just to slow him down on public roads. You know, like lorries have limiters and that kind of thing. Because he's only small, but at that speed, he can cause some damage.
Yeah, you're right.
They are off. I've just got the picture up.
Yeah. It's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Other footwear, and while we stay on the subject of Wales, Lee Halfpenny at the weekend during the Ireland game was wearing boots with 9-carat gold from the mines of the Welsh Hills in.
Yes, and do you know what? I went to school with the owner of that mine.
Really?
Yeah. The Roberts family in Wales. So
cool story, bro.
It feels like he's getting a bit ahead of himself.
Yeah.
If it was the World Cup final, like Michael Johnson, the 400 meter runner, wore gold boots in the Olympic finals.
I think this is okay, because it's not like they've gone out and got the finest gold from wherever. It's 9-carat gold from Wales, and it's, you know, it's promoting Welsh industry and all the rest of it. I'm absolutely fine with it. It's not like he paid for it, and Under Armour did it. So he was given the boots. It's fine.
What would Jay say? What would Jay be saying right now if that was
Haskell? I'd love it. Imagine how excited I'd be. Legitimately, I'd be so excited if Haskell came in boots, was running around in boots.
If it was Chris Robshaw.
Oh, what an idiot.
Exactly.
What a pretentious idiot.
What about this then? And it looks like, just going back to club rugby just very briefly, because it's a nice bit of audio, I thought I'd play you the moment that Brian Majati found out he had been granted a visa to come and play in the United Kingdom. So it looks like the Sale Sharks move is pretty much on.
I'm in!
Ooh.
We're in! We're going to the UK! Okay, calm down.
Wait for the nickname that he refers to himself as.
I'm in! The magic tricks worked. The gingerbread man of rugby lives to fight another day.
If that's anything to go by, he's going to be tremendously hard work for his teammates.
Yeah,
guy I don't want to get changed next to.
This is what he had to say to close off the video that he did on his YouTube channel. And this is the message for all his teammates and stuff in France.
Au revoir, bitches.
But the ginger, I've been trying to work out. I was wondering if you could help me out.
Okay, gingerbread man of rugby.
The gingerbread man of rugby is what he refers
to
himself
as. Okay, so let's go through the story of the gingerbread man. What did the gingerbread man do? Because that might be helpful.
He ran away.
And then what? Did he get eaten?
Maybe that's it, because he keeps moving.
So he's running away.
So he's running away, maybe that's
it. No, that doesn't sound right to me. Mm. I'm sure the gingerbread man got eaten in the end.
Tell you what, you could live for a while off Brian Majati, that's for sure.
Yeah. Damn right you could. He's going to be annoying to all of his teammates, I can tell you right now. I just know that.
He's moving to Manchester.
Yeah, I know, yeah. But we've all played with South Africans. and they can be a little bit annoying. Sometimes a little bit of a culture shock when they move over.
I think your passport will get confiscated if you try and go through South African customs.
I mean, they're very nice people, for the record. But they can be a little bit, you know.
Yeah, okay. Right, that was just a brief little breakaway. Now let's get on to the England squad that was announced earlier this week. Up front, Cruz in, Atwood out. I don't think we picked that, did we?
We didn't.
No, we didn't. Absolutely not. And still looking back at it, not something which I would have done. It might involve Cruz, but not at the expense of Atwood.
He has looked busy, Cruz, in the last couple of games, but I just don't think he's as good as Atwood. But then they're looking at him every day in training, so...
That's my thought.
I have no idea what they're seeing in training, because it doesn't stack up to what we know as rugby fans and what most of the press think. In fact, what almost every pundit thinks as well. They're seeing something completely different.
Those two, they're very similar players. Atwood got dropped in the Six Nations as well, and he had two issues with Atwood when he was playing for England. One, he made a break against the Springboks and completely blew it by just drifting rather than straightening up and giving a pass.
That's right.
And in the Ireland game, he gave away several penalties around the breakdown, and that was the game that he got dropped afterwards.
I think it's a Welsh game when they brought him on as a sub, and he just... Is it a Wales?
He's done it a few times.
He just comes on and he works his little socks off.
Yeah. Basically, Atwood, you would have him as an impact player, and an impact player only, really.
Yes, that's my consideration.
I think he can start, but...
Maybe that's it, because one thing I would say for Cruz, albeit he can't quite get to the heights that Atwood gets to, maybe Cruz is an 80-minute man, and maybe that's part of Lancaster's thought.
More consistent. And also, we see them 80 minutes every few weeks. The coaches have seen them for 10 weeks solidly. They know all of their strengths and weaknesses. They've been testing them rigorously. And Cruz has come out on top. And I can't argue with that, because both of them will offer very similar strengths.
All right, then. So one that I think will be very quick to discuss, Slade in. We're all happy with that,
cool.
Right?
Cool. Happy.
Yeah. All right. Now, no sippers.
Sippers! I'm not bothered. I can see why you would. I can see why you wouldn't. Doesn't bother me a tremendous amount.
For me... He's third choice 10 and he's third choice fullback. And if you can fit him, if you had a bigger squad and you can fit him in, great. Now, the only thing I would argue is that he could potentially force his way into second choice fullback ahead of Goud because he does something completely different and he can change a game, whereas Goud is more consistent.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's done that. No. So I understand the rationale.
Yeah.
I don't think he could force his way ahead of Goud. I think he could force himself ahead of Farrell.
I think, but taking that 48-hour rule that Phil was explaining earlier into account, and I say that there will not be, even if George Ford goes down injured in training the day before a game, you can cover off a match because you've got Alex Goud in the squad and because you've got Henry Slade in the squad.
Yeah.
And which would mean you could then get, and this is what I think is, Danny Cipriani is George Ford number two.
Yeah.
I think if there was an injury to Farrell, I would possibly think about bringing in Myler, actually, so you've got those two different tens.
Yes.
But you can cover off a game and then bring Sippers in to replace Ford if need be. Now I've heard the rules from Phil say it puts things into a different light and you can cover off a game. Goud and Slade could be adequate backups for an 80-minute match with Farrell starting.
Absolutely. So and it is tough because Sippers has played very well.
Mm.
But
it's played well.
With the squad that they've picked, I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no problem with that.
Right then, here we go then. No Big Luth and in Big Sam.
Well, this is it, isn't it? I mean, everyone thinks that I'm anti-English. I'm really not. I do genuinely want England to do well. And to prove it, I can't believe that they picked Burgess over Burrell. I think it is absolutely ludicrous.
It's ludicrous. Wait a second, right? I can understand people going, I don't understand Big Sam being brought in ahead of Kyle Eastmond.
Yep.
Because Kyle Eastmond offers something that England don't have and an attacking threat which we don't have. I could understand if people wanted maybe a more attacking style and they want to go with Eastmond. Luther Burrell, I don't see as this... I see him as a very, very solid player. I don't see him as this incredibly gifted, top-class international player.
No, I don't think he's an incredibly gifted, top-class international player. I think he's a very solid, steady one. And I'd happily have him in the Welsh team. But here's the thing. These guys have watched Burgess in training every week, right? Prior to this, he's been watched in training every day by the Bath coaches. And the Bath coaches have gone, no, this guy is not as good as Kyle Eastmond, but he will make a good flanker. And all the evidence leading up to this camp backs up that particular point of view.
Having already got rid of Kyle Eastmond, we should park that to one side. And this is just Luther Burrell or Sam Burgess. This is two Yorkshiremen.
Mm-hmm.
This is two guys that started playing rugby league. That have converted to rugby union. Two big units.
No, they're not. One big unit.
Big Sam.
Big Sam.
And Big
Luth. I suppose Luth's quite big.
He's quite big.
But have you seen the two of them? I watched a shot on the news of the two of them walking around in training, talking to each other.
Not anymore, they're
Sam
not.
Sam Burgess is considerably bigger than Luther Burrell.
He's a couple of inches taller and about stone and a half heavier. Yeah.
There is a few theories about Burgess. The two which I like is, in a big game, a final, pressure's on, who's just going to pull up their socks, chest out, go out and play? Well, that's great, isn't it? But not want to get hammered. The other thing as well, and I think I'm onto something here, I wouldn't be surprised if it's a ploy to quieten down Jamie Roberts. You know, if you want to stop Jamie Roberts, I think Sam Burgess is a pretty good tool, pretty good blunt instrument to do it. But other than that, I just doesn't make any sense. Any sense at all.
Well, the way I'd look at it is, what are England losing by not having Big Luth? And I don't know that they're losing that much. I think when you go back a stage and you go, what are they losing by not having Kyle Eastmond? Then maybe you're talking about a different kettle of fish. But I'm quite excited about it. It's a brilliant talking point.
Yeah, but do you not... Well, as an Englishman...
He's not going to start for England.
As an Englishman, are you not thinking... This isn't the right decision. This isn't the right decision on a rugby basis. You know, if I was you guys, I'd be worried.
I actually think their all-round skill sets aren't too different, too dissimilar. I don't think... I don't think Big Luth is a great... He's a very good Premiership player, but as an international inside centre, he doesn't have much of a kicking game. I probably still would have gone for Big Luth based on the fact that he started in the Six Nations virtually every game. In a centres partnership that scored more tries than England have done in any of the previous Six Nations. And he was playing well. He does have weaknesses, but his experience over the past four years of playing inside centre should stand him in better stead than Sam Burgess.
I take that.
But everything that they've said, all the coaches have said, Sam Burgess has progressed unbelievably in this 10-week camp.
Why have
his basic skills are good enough to do a decent job.
If you landed as an alien from outer space and went, right, you've got 160 minutes of rugby to watch and pick your England squad out of the two France games, Luther Burrell wouldn't be in it and Sam Burgess would be in it.
Agreed.
Yeah. All I'm saying is the one thing I'm trying to rationalise it. Don't smile like that. You and your Welsh bias.
Look, you say that I've got a Welsh bias. You two are pretty much, you know, those generals that write down notes once the Korean leader start speaking. You are basically King Jong-un's note takers. Anything that Lancaster does, you kind of rationalise somehow, which for two logical men is beyond me.
I want to support England, and I have put implicit faith in the coaches that they have a lot more information, a lot more data than we do, and they are making the right decision.
The coaches I have faith
We got to a World Cup final with a ragtag bunch of unhappy people. And this is a home World Cup, and I suppose the decision's been made now, and it's it. So maybe me and Phil are a little bit going, come on, boys.
Fingers crossed.
But that's what I want every Englishman and man, woman and child to do.
I also think he could get found out.
Do you reckon, like, putting a 6'4" guy inside centre against Scotland's team is going to stump Gatland? Do you think he's going, oh, God, I've got no other game plan for this? Or do you think he'll just devise something very, very simple on the back of a fag packet and go for it?
Yeah,
absolutely he would.
I'm less worried about Wales. I'm more worried about Australia, because they will have...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Have a proper ball playing 12 with fast, dangerous runners outside him, and that is what worries me with Sam Burgess.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think Burgess will be. I don't think they'll want him on the field for Australia.
I keep talking about Jamie Roberts, Scott Williams. Scott Williams look wonderful, and he's got great feet. He's got good turn of pace. Scott Williams could find out Burgess if they decide to go that route when the two teams meet.
On the subject of Australia, Joe Tamani has been embarrassed by his Australian teammate David Pocock. So in training, Pocock was just on the sidelines and was recording some stuff and recorded Joe Tamani singing a song.
Baby, won't you come my way?
That is pretty horrible. If you're an England or Wales player listening to the podcast, this is what you're going to listen to in the changing room as you walk out for your warm-up.
Baby, won't you come my way?
Move on.
Yes, please. Scotland game?
Yes, the Scotland game. Thank you, Phil. They absolutely smashed Italy.
They did. I do think the scoreline flatters them a little bit because there was 3 interception tries. Oh. So that's 20 points just there. But they were comfortably a better side. And what is very encouraging for Scotland is their pack was dominant against a very good Italian pack. That back row is awesome. Their scrummaging and their driving mauls were awesome. And their backs, they've got some real pace.
Mm.
Did Finn Russell play?
Finn Russell, Stuart Hogg, Mark Bennett are the 3 exciting backs in that.
There's some Scottish players playing. That's well done.
I felt that over Six Nations they made a lot of progress without winning any games, which is kind of damning with faint praise, I guess. But Vern Cotter is a good coach. I think he'll get them prepared, and I think they'll have some fairly good wins coming into, well, if they get out of their group, which I tend to think they will now.
Yeah.
In my opinion, they are favourite to qualify in their group. Behind South Africa.
How does it feel to live in a world where Scotland might get to get out of the group stages where either England or Wales don't? What kind of society have we built?
That would be embarrassing, wouldn't it?
For one of us. Well, maybe also Australia. Fingers crossed it's Australia.
Well, whoever wins the group, if Scotland finish second in their group, whoever wins England and Wales' group will be playing Scotland.
I'd fancy that.
The prize for winning Pool A...
Is massive.
Mind you, otherwise you get South Africa, do you?
Otherwise you get South Africa, then New Zealand.
Then New Zealand. Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah. So if you come second, it's not... finishing seconds, third and not qualifying
is... Yeah, second's as good as third.
Yeah, pretty much.
There again, I mean, if you beat South Africa, you're on some serious form. If you beat the All Blacks, you're unstoppable going into that, going into that final, right?
If you've got any players left after that fixture list.
That cliche of, if you want to win a World Cup, you've got to beat the best. We'll get used by the coach of the team that finished second.
Can I also point out that what you really want as well is you want South Africa to win that game. So South Africa and New Zealand batter each other in the semis.
And then you're in the other side of the pool.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
so it's exactly what you want.
I thought it's through.
Yeah, you want to win the game, and then chances are South Africa and New Zealand will meet each other.
So are we still saying, just as much interest, are we still saying that Australia will top this group with Wales second?
Oh God, it changes every week. No, I'm not saying that.
I'm saying Australia, and then it's a coin toss.
I'm probably there as well.
And I think England are going to beat Wales.
I don't think they are.
I think
they'll beat Australia, and I don't think Wales will.
I think England will beat us. I think England will top the group. Blind faith, but I think England will top the group.
Blind faith is pretty much how Stuart Lancaster's base has come. So you're doing well there.
All right, well, Scotland fans, we will be talking about your squad when it gets announced on next week's podcast, but it's time for this. Stash! A little bit of a stash update. We talked about Lee Halfpenny's 9-carat gold boots. I also want to just make a quick reference to Derry Gasman on Twitter has let us know about this, which I think is a brilliant development in stash. So we've been talking before that we quite like the little flags that are put on the French kit. And Bath, were one of the first people to do this with their teams, where they would put, when you get your international honours, they would put your little international flag.
Yes, this is true.
In the centre of the shirt. I think Bath did that first. Munster have now got family crests on the arm, on the sleeve of the new Munster shirt. So players can have their own family crest on the shirt.
That is incredibly cool, and yet incredibly not of our age.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, if you're a historian in 100 years' time, you're going to think there's some sort of, like, error in the chronology. Well, yeah. They played with their family crest on 1915, sure, but not... I love it.
I love the throwback of it.
Have you got one, Jay?
I'm going to make one.
So that's one bit of stash. Saracens have launched their new kit, which is... The home kit is... red top, kind of with like a, it's almost like someone's done a water painting of a skyline going from red to black.
Yeah.
And then the away kit from white to blue. Yeah.
This basically does not fit any of the criteria of being a nice kit at all. But it somehow works for me.
It kind of works. I know. It shouldn't work. Initially, when I looked at it, I went, oh, that's disgusting.
But someone on Twitter pointed out, and they're very right, if you squint at that, it looks like they've got their shorts really high.
Yeah. Really high shorts, tucked in like just below their pecs. Yeah.
Which, it's got to be a look that's coming back soon, right?
Yeah.
I'm not so sure about it. I do love the Nike stash, but it's just that kind of smudge, the blend.
Now, can I point out a kit which no one's talked about? It was out a few weeks ago. It's Yorkshire Conigi's kit.
Is this the Cougar one?
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, that is nice.
Look at that.
Blue and white hoops.
Yeah, just blue and white.
It looks like what a Bristol kit should look like. But Yorkshire Carnegie, who I thought played in yellow.
And blue and white.
And blue and white.
It's just nice and plain, and that's it. Wonderful.
Well, Bristol have also launched the kit.
Bristol have launched the kit. Looks lovely, worn by Big Gav.
Who else would you get to model that?
Yeah. Let's talk about London Irish. They launched their kit. The away kit, has been pointed out, would make a really good Leicester Tigers away kit.
Yes.
Yes, 100%.
Nice and simple.
And the home kit is kind of standard. And Alex Lewington, after a brilliant breakout season in the Premiership, has got the honours of being the main man modelling that for him.
Re-signed a new 2-year deal, hasn't he?
Yeah, it'll be on a good wedge now, because he's their mate. And Leicester must be looking at him going, what did we do? They let him go to Nottingham, then to Irish. Yeah, that's it for a stash, although I do like that we had a tweet from Sil Hillians Rugby, who play in Midlands 1 West, who tweeted us, and they claimed the best stash that their team has ever had.
Wow.
And they tweeted us a picture of it.
But this is big news, because they are notorious for good stash as well.
So Sil Hillians, and it's white with kind of red and blue stripes going across. And I think it's very nice, Sil Hillians. And what I would like to do is put it out there to any club side at whatever level around the game. Tweet to at Rugby Podcast a picture of your team's stash for the 2015-16 season.
Yeah.
And we will do a review on Twitter and post our thoughts and do an online stash watch for grassroots rugby.
Yeah, and by all means, if it is nice kit, tweet us. If it's horrific kit, 100% tweet us. Oh, we'll have a lot more fun with that.
Yeah. Oh, Broughton Park, I've had some horrible kits.
Well, strange enough, I was presented with a kit the other day, which someone got like a tester one.
When you say presented, makes it sound like they're going, thank you for your services to the club.
Presenting
you with
again.
A commemorative shirt.
No, because you get test ones, so you can just try it out. And I won't name the company, but we are black and white hoops. There's nothing special about our kit, black and white hoops. And somehow they managed to kind of incorporate like one of the hoops going into a shark fin and then a swirl. And I don't need to tell you what I said, but I will tell you, an absolute no. Absolute no. Hoops. How hard is that?
I love hoops.
Let me correct myself. Silhillians is white, blue and black hoops. It looks like kind of a traditional Bath rugby kit.
Wonderful.
It's very nice.
Yeah,
it's
that is nice.
That is very nice.
Nice
is that,
and simple.
Is that maroon? Oh, I don't know. Anyway,
I think it is maroon, actually.
There's maroon in there somewhere. Anyway, it's lovely. So, yes, thank you very much. And any grassroots clubs, at Rugby Podcast, tweet us your stash as and when it comes out. Oh, before we move on, in a bit of club news, I was just talking about grassroots clubs. Let's talk about Europe's best club. Toulon lost 2 games in the top 14. Still can't believe the top 14's already started and is well underway.
Such a joke.
Toulon have lost 2 games, and Toulon have been fielding a very nearly 40-year-old player.
40-year-old in January. Not just any 40-year-old player, though. A player on the wing.
Indeed.
Which is astonishing.
Sorelli Bombo. Brendan Venter's favourite player. If you remember when he was director of rugby at Saracens and was absolutely seething that Racing Metro won a team, he did this classic interview.
What went wrong? Because you got off to such a wonderful start.
Yeah, it's interesting. I wonder what went wrong. I have to think about it. Think about it.
Well, what did go wrong?
I'll have to look and think about it. Think about it deeply, very deeply.
Did it hinge in the end on a bit of genius from Sorelli Bombo?
Bit of genius, bit of magic. Sorelli Bombo, very interesting, very good.
What an idiot.
Very good. 3 cheers for Sorelli Bombo. Very good, very good.
I love that interview so much.
He's such an idiot, though, isn't he? Why did the reporter continue with the interview? Wouldn't you just go...
He got a great interview. I like reporters. The car crash stuff is the stuff you want. That's the stuff. That's brilliant.
Really? I think I'd have gone after the first interview, after the first answer, and that's all that Brendan Venter has. Back to you. And just cut him off at that.
Well, think about it like this. We're talking about it all these years on. We're talking about a post-match interview from a European Heineken Cup match against Racing Metro from 10 years ago.
He sounds like a 10-year-old. He really does.
Very good. 3 cheers for Sorelli Bombo. Very good, very good.
I love it. I think it's brilliant.
I think it's very funny. It's not the most flattering audio clip of him, though.
3 cheers for Sorelli Bombo.
Very good.
And also, well, I'll tell you what, if we're talking post-match interviews, I've got another one here because there's another thing that I don't know which one of you two posted about it on Twitter, but a brilliant spot, and that is that Harlequins in their sevens team have got player called Kevin Keegan.
This is Kenya Harlequins.
Oh, right.
Oh,
no.
Right.
Boo.
Well, why on earth was there a guy called Kevin Keegan in Kenya?
I've got the Kenyan Harlequins after their tournament. I've got their post-match interview with Kevin Keegan.
I will love it if we beat them. Love it.
Kenya beat the USA. In the USA. Kenya, sorry.
Harlequins
in USA.
And in the other club match, Newcastle beat Georgia.
Yes. And there was Japan. Japan hammered Uruguay as well, 40 points to nil.
Yeah.
Did you see the sevens? Did you see who won the sevens?
No, I didn't.
Premiership sevens?
Newport Grand Dragons.
Yes.
Yes, I did see that. Because I was trying to work out who...
They won the Premiership sevens.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
They did.
The Aviva Premiership sevens was won by...
Newport Grand Dragons.
That is correct, Tim.
Guinness Pro 12 team...
A bad Guinness Pro 12 team, yeah.
They beat Wasps in the final. Wasps were taking it seriously.
Yeah, Wasps were taking it seriously,
with Joe Simpson, Elliot Daly and Christian Wade.
Oh,
Christian Wade, the previous week, broke the Premiership Sevens scoring record for a single day's play. 7 tries in 3 games.
Oh, wow.
And they sorted all those guys against Newport Gwent.
Yeah.
I wonder what's happening there. What if we're in for a bit of a shock of a season, then?
Now, we've mentioned Brendan Venter. Will he feature in a London Irish all-time best-of team? Let's find out. So we've been going through the Aviva Premiership teams one by one as they finished in the league table and picking the best team ever to have worn that club's shirt in the professional era. And I do emphasise the professional era. Because it's just different times, and that's how we're judging it. So it's the turn of London Irish. Well, I can say that the London Irish Rugby Club Forum. They've obviously got a fair few listeners to the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. So hello and thank you very much, and thanks for spreading the word, because they've put this as a talking point on their forum. So there will be probably more London Irish fans than normal listening today for this. So thank you very much. We've had a little look over some of the suggestions there. We've had our own thoughts, and let's get into it then.
I assume second row's nailed on, right?
Second row's nailed on, obviously.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Nepotism is an important thing. So yeah, Nick Rouse wears 4 and 5 in that team, and ousts Nick Kennedy and Bob Casey.
That's superb work by you, bro.
Kennedy and Casey, just what a brilliant combo. And
your brother's made the all-time best Bath team now.
Yeah.
He's made the all-time best Sale team, and now he's going to make the all-time best Irish team.
It's impressive, isn't it?
It is. Very impressive.
Nick Kennedy and Bob Casey in the engine room, and that just sort of typifies where probably this is going with London Irish. They had a golden era in the professional era where they had some absolutely incredible players.
Which era of London Irish do you think is better? The one which got to the Premiership final, or the one that won the Tetley Bitter Cup?
The Tetley Bitter Cup one.
I think the Tetley Bitter Cup one as well, because they were dynamite and they dismantled Northampton.
Yeah, and they had really exciting new ways of playing. I mean, what was the team that played the coming out the line? Was it Wasps did that attack?
No, I think it was London Irish.
That they were first to do that kind of flying the wingers up the blitz defence
where you start just outside your man and angle just inside.
Yeah, but
also Brendan Venter, kind of as your defensive captain, lead. He was sort of the architect of that.
And I think the difference was with that one, I might be wrong, but I think the difference was they'd put their outside centre and their winger on the opposition outside centre. So when they finally did lose, I think it was Sale Sharks, because Charlie Hodgson was just skipping the ball over. So he'd do like the double miss pass out onto the wing. But it was very effective for a very long time.
So let's go through it then. 1 to 15, front row.
Some of the suggestions. Tighthead is, I think, nailed on.
Is it Farn?
Farn, Routon Bash.
He was a beast of a man.
Monstrous, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He looked like a farmer.
Yeah.
Is that a compliment? Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
My brother played with him. He said he was massive and beastly, but just soft as anything, like as a bloke.
Just a nice guy.
Yeah.
Spent his spare time raising kittens or something.
Yeah. So, Loosehead.
Tonga, Liatoa.
Oh, Tonga. Yeah, he went to Toulon after Irish, didn't he?
He went London Irish.
Is he at Bayonne now?
And now he's at Bayonne.
Well
yes,
done,
Jay.
JB. You're not looking over Phil's shoulder at all.
Look at that.
Now, Hooker, I imagine there might be a couple of options.
It's a straight shootout for two, it looks like.
Is David Pace involved?
David Pace.
I'd pick David Pace, personally.
You love David Pace.
I do love him. I think he's a brilliant all round player.
And South African Naka Drotzka.
Ooh.
Pace or Drotzka, would you go with Phil?
I've seen more of Pace, and I do rate him. I do rate him very highly, so I'll go for Pace.
Pace?
Yeah, but he got battered by, what's his name?
Jim Hamilton.
Jim Hamilton, absolutely. He looked like he's about to cry.
He's also, I think...
Nakadrotsky wouldn't have got battered by Jim Hamilton.
Probably not.
So, I'm just throwing that out there. I'm
putting this out there, and I understand why Hartley's not in the England squad, and so for similar reasons, David Pace might not make the England squad, but I'd rather have David Pace in the England squad than Rob Webber. But David Pace has got the best line out, he's got the best basic skill set of any English hooker. That
do you represent David Pace in some capacity?
He's got shares in him.
Wait, and I'm even going to go as far as
fact.
There you go.
I will give you a fact about David Pace.
He's got the most yellow cards in the league.
In the Aviva Premiership of all time.
Fact.
All right, fair enough.
And Hartley plays in the Aviva Premiership.
By the way, Tim's fact is I think he's really good at lineups. Fact.
Kennedy and Casey in the row. Back row, then, it's got to be seven. It's got to be Stefan Armitage.
Yes. I think so. I think that is an easy decision.
6 and 8, then.
So, would you have Declan Danaher?
Yeah, I think so.
Long time player. Captain for quite a few years as well, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And then the 8...
Le Guizamon was there
because he dropped the ball over the line.
Le Guizamon went from there, and then sure, I'm thinking it's a huge team in France.
In terms of like the best player, I don't know whether he was the best wearing the shirt, but Le Guizamon, I don't think they haven't had any great eights now I look at it.
Yeah, George Stowers for a couple of years, who was a very good ball carrier, wasn't he? And destructive tackler.
They also had someone else, Simone fella.
Halofia.
Yeah.
And he was an absolute destroyer of worlds.
Yeah.
And Sheesby as well.
Pick one, Phil.
I do like George Stowers.
All right, so Stones is in Leguizamon, so okay.
Square that circle.
I'm going to quickly jump through nine because there's not much debate here. It's Hodgson, isn't it? Dodge.
Yeah, I'd go for Hodgson.
Fly half, that's a bit more of a debate.
Okay, who do you go for?
Not Ryan Lamb.
Not
they,
Ryan
they've
Lamb.
Got an absolute rogues gallery, actually, haven't they?
Yeah.
Not Geraghty, I wouldn't say.
No, not Geraghty.
Someone's got a.
I don't know.
Picked.
Barry Everett is their all-time top point scorer in the Premiership.
Oh, yeah.
The other options at 10 are to move either Cat or Flutie there.
Not Flutie, maybe Cat.
Mm.
Yeah. I think Cat have like tight hamstrings and hence wouldn't kick much. That's why he never kicked.
Should we go for more of a Maverick selection and go for Cat then?
Should we go for Cat?
I'd go for Everett, surely.
Everett is considerably their top
must
point
be
scorer.
Everett.
Oh, well, fine, Everett. One of the best centres I've seen play in club rugby in England was Salehe Mapasua.
That's who I was going to.
Mapasua and Cat as the centres.
Yep.
Definitely.
That's a pretty tidy little unit, that.
And then wings.
Topsy.
Definitely Topsy.
Defo Topsy.
Topsy, Teki Teki Bow.
Yep.
Yep.
And Dellen as 15.
Yes.
Pretty good. Oh, no, hold on. Brendan Venter. Brendan Venter
well,
in the centre.
Brendan Venter at 12 ahead of Cat. Not because he's a better player, but he had a better time than...
And then Cat at 10.
And then Cat at 10. Yeah,
Barry Everett's got to be in there.
I'm not having Brendan Venter not in that
Barry
team.
Barry Everett sounds like a terrible club singer. Barry Everett!
Ladies and gentlemen, Barry Everett. Barry Everett, he was just a kicking machine. I like the idea, and this is how I want to think about London Irish.
How about Paul Sackey back in the day?
Sackey was a very good player.
Yeah, he was. Oh, man, they had some good backs.
Yeah, they really did.
I'm going Cat at 10 and Venter. I'm overruling Venter and Mapasua.
Cool. Your team.
Oh, that is... you tell me a harder centre pairing than Venter and Mapasua.
I love Mapasua.
You tell me two players that run harder lines than that.
I would say the old pairing of when they had Freddie Tuolangi and the other guy outside of him. I can't remember his name now. It's annoying me. In fact, any Leicester pairing... we're pretty tough. Whether it be
Anthony
Gibson,
Allen and Manu,
Anthony Allen
is not a hard running centre.
No, I'm telling you that there's. I don't think there's.
Oh, I've got one for you.
Go on,
Kevin Maggs and Mike Tindall.
No, I'd
put, what? Kevin Maggs,
Venter and Mapasua would end those two.
No, they would. Kevin Maggs is one of the hardest men ever to set foot on grass.
I'm telling
not
you,
pitch, on grass
outside of New Zealand. Venter and Mapasua in their prime would be the centre pairing for every other team in this year's World Cup. They would be.
No, that wasn't the question. The question is, who is tougher?
Harder.
Kevin Maggs. Easily.
No, I'd
Man's a warrior.
But did you see Mapasua play?
Yeah.
God, he was incredible. He's so hard.
He was hard, but he also had some sublime skills.
Yeah,
I always... Do you know what? I'm glad you said that, because I think of him more of a skill player rather than a...
He was
a hard hitter.
All round awesome, Mapasua.
Yeah, he was.
Where did he end up? Japan?
He did, yeah. He went for a couple of years to Japan.
So, London Irish, there is your 15. You can carry on debating it. Tonga at loose head, David Pace, Routenbach, Kennedy Casey, Danaher, Steffo, Leguizamon.
Oh, Stowers.
Stowers at 8, you're right. No, Stowers at 8. Dodge, Cat, Venter, Mapasua. Ojo,
Tangi
Thakinbau,
and Dellon.
No
room for the other Armitage, no? Weird. Armitage.
Guy.
Legendary Guy Armitage.
Or, what's the name of the one who plays at Doncaster?
That is Guy, isn't it?
No, I've played against him a few times.
Dave.
Ian. LeSean.
Armitage.
I can't remember.
Derek.
Good story.
Cool story, bro.
He's got a very cool beard. Bevan.
Bevan.
Bevan Armitage.
Cool bunch of names, isn't it? Bevan, Guy, Dellon and Stefan.
It's cool.
Yeah.
Stefan.
There we go, London Irish. Hope you enjoyed your 15. What does that leave us with? That just leaves us with Newcastle then.
Newcastle. Well, unless we're going to do London Welsh. 2 years.
Have we done everyone?
We could do Worcester.
We could do a Worcester. We could do a Leeds.
We could do Rotherham. That'd be good fun.
Oral.
Oral will be great fun.
Richmond.
Richmond would be amazing fun.
We're definitely doing Newcastle next time out.
Yes.
So Newcastle
fans. Are we that far down?
Let us know at Rugby Podcast. Let us know who we should pick. Is there anything else on our agenda?
Games next week.
Oh, yes. Right. Let's get into the games that are coming up this weekend then. And well, it's big, and the stakes are massive for England. And I don't think Chris Robshaw, when I heard him talking, was making absolutely no bones about the fact that nothing less than victory will do.
I think Lancaster would have liked to have a comfortable win against France. First team, as in the first team comfortable win.
Yeah.
And then he can play about with some combinations, whereas now he's got to put his absolute nailed on first team and for them to perform against what will be an Irish team seeking a win.
Well, is it going to be an Irish team seeking a win?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I always think that these warm-up games go like low, high, low. So you pick your squad, then you pick your best team, and then you kind of pick a team to sort of cool down again. Otherwise, the Irish have been in action 4 weeks on the bounce.
They've been clever with their selections. They've held off picking their team.
Yeah.
They've got still got a lot of players in camp. I don't think that was... I think that was maybe 50% of their first team.
Mm.
I don't think it was their best team. So
yeah,
I think
so they've
now...
really put all the big players up for Wales. Now, they might go do that again, but if they don't play ball and they think, right, well, we're going to ease off, Lancaster might just be an understrength team. I worry about
Ireland,
this.
Ireland won't ease off. Phrases like easing off. And
No. The players playing won't, but the selection might.
Yeah. If you do pick...
You try to think of some bad Irish players, and they don't have many. But that would be my point, that maybe the Irish selection is a little bit undercooked, and then Lancaster's got to go out there and beat these guys. But it's not going to give their team any kind of fulfilment, because they've lost their big game against the French starters, and they lost it badly.
No.
Okay, no then.
Much as Warren Gatland managed to spin it, didn't he? And he said...
Did he manage to spin it?
He managed to spin it and said, oh, you know, we always knew it was about winning away because that's what we've got to do in the World Cup. So basically, the game in the Millennium Stadium didn't matter.
Oh.
So now Stuart Lancaster can say the same thing. He say, well,
we've got to win
at Twickenham.
Note taker.
Yeah.
Look at you scribbling down the notes in your colonel's hat.
We've got to win at Twickenham.
That's what we've got to do in the World Cup. So it's all about coming back to Fortress Twickenham.
Okay. Well, I think you will get the win. I hope it's a full side, a full strength Ireland side. I'm fascinated to find out what England will put out as their strongest 15 as well.
Ireland will be announcing their World Cup squad in between now and that game, so it will be only players from their 31.
Yeah, so you'd assume it has to be their first team.
Well, it can still field two full strength teams from that 31, so it might be.
Great bit of maths there from Phil. Did you notice that? Superb maths. And if I'm not mistaken, there's one left over.
There is one left over.
What?
There is probably the injured Kean Healy.
Yes.
So they can field two teams plus Kean Healy.
Brilliant. You've got a brilliant, brilliant mind.
It's just simple maths, JB.
I hope that Barrett and Joseph get some rugby together before a World Cup match against Fiji.
Well, Barrett might be injured. We don't actually know.
Do we know anything about Barrett? We just don't talk about him because he's not exciting.
He's got a massive jaw.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Looks a bit like Buzz Lightyear.
Granite shoulders, granite
hands. What about his injury? What is the injury? How long has it been?
Lancaster said after the second France game that he was hopeful he would return to training that week. So a week ago now.
So you're going to see Joseph and Burgess?
Farrell? You could see Joseph and...
What a mess.
Joseph and Farrell with Slade on the bench covering 12 and 10.
Oh, wow.
Big Sam.
We could see Big Sam.
Do you know what? It's going to be awful, isn't it? I hope they do. I hope Ireland have an understrength team and it looks competitive, because how awful would it be for England if I put up the full strength team and Robbie Henshaw just runs circles around Burgess and everyone's up in arms and the media are on their back but they've got to hope for it to go their way.
Ireland don't play that way. The way Ireland are playing, it will play right into Sam Burgess's hands because it's one up.
Unless he drops it.
One up runners. No, because he'd just be tackling all day. He'd just be smashing people.
JB, I wish I could just take little clips of different episodes of the podcast and then play them all next to each other, because 2 weeks ago, England are the most tournament ready team.
Hey, I love Sam Burgess.
Last week, England are in an absolute mess.
No, look, I love Sam Burgess. I'm on record of saying I love Sam Burgess. At six, I think the 12 thing is ridiculous, although he did do fairly well. I said the backups played well. I stand by that. I thought the first team were atrocious, and that's what will be playing, the first team.
Yeah, I'd agree with all of that.
Be interesting to see if the front row bounce back and with a good bit of, well, with some terra firma underneath their feet rather than...
Yeah.
rather than a travelator that they have at the Millennium Stadium.
The Millennium Stadium?
Whether they can... Stade de France.
They're both the same, those two pitches.
Yeah.
They can assert a bit of dominance, but we'll be here after the game to talk about that. So the other games are... Yeah, Georgia are playing Japan. Wales play Italy. France play Scotland as well. That's interesting. I would imagine going away to France that Scotland will not play their first choice team.
Teddy Thomas nowhere to be seen.
Teddy Thomas.
Yeah.
Teddy
Thomas. I guess he'd been cut from the squad a long, long time ago.
Yeah, he's nowhere near it.
Such a shame.
Such a shame for teams playing against them.
Oh, well, yeah.
You just kick in the corner.
But if he concedes three but scores four, I'd have him.
And Canada plays Fiji on Sunday.
And USA play Australia.
Soldier right.
Field.
And then the championship starts this weekend as well.
Oh, does it?
Yeah.
Wow.
There is 2 weeks of final preparations and then 2 weeks on Saturday. It's the big one.
And not Friday.
It's Friday.
Two weeks on Friday, yeah. The 18th.
Yeah, because I always like that Friday night start. It feels very special.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm excited now.
I know, I'm really excited. How do you see it going, England, Ireland, Phil?
I'd reserve judgment until I've seen the squads, but I'll probably say the same as I said before the second France game, in the solid performance, solid platform from the pack. Whoever plays tend to control the game and no injuries. That's all I'd want. I'd be happy with that kind of performance.
I kind of think differently. I kind of think England have to win.
Well, luckily it's warm-up games, so you don't have to. And I think part of these warm-up games, we do lose sight of what they're there for. They're to harden the players ready for the tournament. I think there needs to be a bit more of a nuanced view. So I'm same as Phil. I'm going to reserve judgment.
No, I kind of disagree. It's when you get to the World Cup, it isn't about being in great physical shape. It's about
It massively is.
That's important. But I guess what I'm saying is, actually, you're right. You don't have to win in a warm-up match. But conversely, if you want to look at like flip it 180 degrees, you have to win in the World Cup.
Yes.
The performance in the World Cup, the performance does not matter. It can be as ugly as you like. It is all about the outcome. Mm-hmm. How you get there is irrelevant.
So I'm saying, conversely, for that reason, we have to beat Ireland.
Ignore everything else. Ignore how they play. Just win by 1 point.
We'll have to see what the teams are like and go from there, I think.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll be back after the game to talk about it. In the meantime, at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, thank you very much for listening. Leave your reviews on iTunes, download and listen on the Acast app, and we will see you next time. Nice one, JB.
Thank you, Tim.
Nice one, Phil.
Cheers, Tim.
Very good. Three cheers for Sir Eddie Bombo. Very good. Very good.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.